for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are watching, if you're listening on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com, so shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. So it's been a week, Max. Did you recover from PAX Australia?
From my one day? Yeah, dude, I recovered.
Oh, cool. admittedly took me a lot longer than I intended. I was still rough a couple of days later. I'm old. So old.
Yeah, no, I recovered nicely, obviously, having only been there for a day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was good fun, but it was just, as we said on the showroom floor last week, on our showroom floor episode, it was just lacking something.
Yeah.
For us this year, well, for you especially, it was very much a social.
Last year was too, and that was fun.
But, like, I mean, granted, you had stuff organized over the weekend, like interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas...
Oh, the interviews, just hands-on. I didn't do interviews this year.
Oh, okay, just hands-on. So
I was lazy about it.
At least last year, we kind of worked a bit. Mm. You know, I got to interview a few people. We did some cool stuff. Whereas this time around, it was very much a... You know what I mean? It kind of... Like, last year had that... It's our first year back in quite some time. And this year, I kind of was hoping that they were going to step it up a little bit more. Mm. And they failed to blow my skirt up.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no dick blowing off, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Look, I'm in the similar boat. So even after adding 2 extra days, I did go hands-on with a bunch of cool games. And we'll talk about them in a moment. But it is, you know, certainly PAX Australia, 2 years out from COVID, it's kind of, it's different. You know, in that a lot of the big guys aren't there. Nintendo were there this year where they weren't last year, so that's a big thing, which was interesting. A lot of this we discussed in last week's show, but yeah, you are correct. It felt like it was missing something, and whether it be the presence of the big guys to add that legitimacy, whether it be booths that were cool and exciting where most of them were just big squares, that was poo. A lot of PC stuff commonly. I think the area that received the most love would be the tabletop space, which was dope.
Dude, I had so much fun in the tabletop area.
Oh man, okay. Max, moving forward, you need to come Friday and you need to come Sunday. Because by the end of Sunday, they were like, we don't want to cart any of this home. How about 20% off? Yeah, because that's how I ended up leaving with some Star Wars Shatterpoint expansions and this really cool set piece for Marvel Crisis Protocol. Because I was like, and went back on Sunday and they're like, 20% off. I'm like, give me that.
If you had a message me and be like, Dice Thrones is 20% off, I would have been like, can you get me one place?
Oh, I don't know whether Dice Thrones was on sale because I think that was still like... But that thing was like, those bitches were heavy, so I imagine they just wanted to get rid of them as well.
I wonder how the Frosthaven store went because those bitches were heavy.
I think they went. Like, when I was looking at it on the end of the weekend, like, there was one, maybe two on that table. Like, they moved.
Mm.
They moved. And people can see the box behind you.
Yeah, man. I love my Frosthaven.
Mm. You got minis in any paint in there or what?
All of them. So many.
I should just show you. I should just show you a good cheat paint method. That'd be fun.
Yeah, but I have like the steady hands of a fucking coked up.
That's all right. I can show you how to do it with shitty hands. It's fun. Well, you think I'm good? Hell no. It's all smokes and mirrors, babies. But yeah, so in terms of games that I did play on the floor, there were three that I really went hard on purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, I burp sitting right there. Pardon me. First one was Go-Go Town. So Go-Go Town is this cool little city building, farm, sim, cozy game that is made by a team called Prideful Sloth, which made Yonder the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, which is a game I also love, but
Yonder was kind of dope.
It's one of those things where I totally forgot about it. And I was like, oh man, these cozy games are really great. And they're like, yeah, no, but we've kind of done our bread and butter on them. And I'm like, oh yeah. I went Yonder. And she went, oh, and I slapped the dudes. I'm like, no fucking way, that was you? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I totally forgot. That game rules. And so I had like a little moment where I was like, oh shit. So essentially it's going to hit that right part of my brain in that, you know, you go into your town, you go to the mine, you grab some things, you go over there, you build stuff, and you build this cool little town together. And I think I'm going to play it with my son when it comes out. Pardon me, because he and I are just going to like chill and have a good time. It's adorable looking, simple, great little city builder, where it's one of those benefits that actually benefits you from working together, which is exciting. Which is probably one of the big things for me that made me excited. And this farming and city building and town management and all the things make me excited.
I totally forgot. Because I had a goodie bag from like hitting a bunch of stalls when I took mum through packs. Her plan was just, I want to get as much free shit as I can while I'm here for like an hour. One of the games that I played was Spin Rhythm XD.
Oh, is that the DJ one?
Yeah, I totally forgot they actually gave me a code for the game. It was in the bottom of my bag of goodies. So I'm like, yay.
Oh, have you played it?
I've been playing it on Steam.
Oh, how is it?
It's fucking awesome. It's not as cool knowing that I don't have a fucking DJ turntable to play the game.
Can you get a DJ Hero set and plug it in?
Probably not. It is still cool with the mouse and keyboard, though. Yeah. Having that just, you know, simple rhythm. Color matching, spinning the mouse left and right to turn the wheel. Game's cool. The difficulty ramp is fucking intense though.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely really, I got spoiled playing it the first time at PAX because the guy's like, yeah, we've you know, programmed the whole game to work with a MIDI controller set up. And I'm like, this is rad. Kind of feel like a douchebag, but like, this is rad. And then
turning
and now
knobs
I'm back
unnecessarily.
Yeah, well, everyone's got to, you know, tweak the knobs every once in a while. Hey! But yeah, it's great fun. And I totally forgot they gave me a code for it while I was playing. So as I was cleaning out my PAX bag, it's like, oh.
Did they surprise. Know you were like a media peep? So that's what, here you go.
Because I asked the question, I'm like, you know, what's it coming to? I do a PlayStation podcast, gave them the spiel, and they're like, the moment it's just switching thingo, but like, do you want a code? I'm like, yeah, sure, you know, that'd be great. They're like, here you go. I'm like, sweet. And then I forgot about it because I put it in my bag and it was out of sight, out of mind until I cleaned out my bag.
That's lovely.
So I played a bit of that. Good fun.
The other game I checked out was because it looked like God of War, and you know this guy in God of War, was Primordial Legends Hollow Hero. So
I got a bear.
The Combat Wombat.
Combat Wombat.
Oh man, yeah. Oh, so essentially, you're this wombat. You're in this otherworldly land, and you've just got to like traverse. As the team was explaining it to me, it's a true hero story in every sense of the word. None of this circumventing heroes that we've seen in, you know, other mediums as of late. They're like, no, it's dead simple. You start from nothing, you become a hero. Done, easy. I'm like, sick. And the game itself is so, so incredibly inspired by God of War, like 2018, visually, like even down to where the camera sits. You have a shield and you have a sword or an axe sort of setup. That you're a big honking wombat, which is dope, and she's awesome. Her name's Brunt, I think, from memory.
Brunt.
Huh?
It's Brunt.
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 Yeah,
how
Brute
dare
or
you?
Brunt. I couldn't remember which one it was. But
it's Brunt.
Yeah, so what I really love, though, as I was sort of chatting with them, like, because it is Primordial Legends colon HoloHero, right? So they're essentially setting up that it is this beginning, like it's this, there should be like a greater universe. And what I really like though.
Sorry to interrupt. For those watching live, I've dropped the link, the Steam link in the chat.
Yeah, Games so Man. It is the console maybe at a later date, but nothing locked in yet. So the beginning, the game opens, or the demo opens with this dark hooded figure sitting in a throne, and he's talking to this like wombat rat dog looking person, and essentially. The way the story is set up is this dark creature is like, tell me the tale of this. So the idea is this monk, this leader, this storyteller is the one telling all the stories. So when they, you know, when they do their next game, if it's in the same universe, they just have the same guy tell a different story. So it sets it up in such a way that everything they make can come back into one shared universe if they so choose. Which is a really ballsy kind of idea for an independent studio, with the idea of like, who knows whether you can even make your next game. So the idea of like, we're not just making one game, we're going to make one that joins into another, into potentially another, when you haven't laid down one yet, which is nuts. But looks good, played really well. Like the environment is stunning. And like, so what are they, apparently a lot of the design team are like, you know, like full blown artists. So they had a lot of fun just dicking with the world. And like, even though clearly in, you know, pre-beta, like maybe probably even pre-alpha stuff, like the body hair on the wombat was a little jank, but like the world around the wombat was sick. So like, you know, as you're walking, you're seeing this interesting, beautiful depth in the foliage, and you're seeing creatures in a distance, and you're like, oh man, I wanna see what that thing's doing. And like, you just kind of take all this world in. It was really, really cool and really like lovely. Just, oh, so good. But probably the highlight, and Quinn, and there's a lot of extra factors that I think may have added to it being a highlight, but it certainly played a role, is Drop Bear Bites, which is a team based out of Torquay, which is just down the road from us, in Broken Roads, which is an Australian-themed CRPG. Think like Disco Elysium, but Australian. It's sick. So I...
OG Fallout.
OG Fallout. Like Fallout Tactics, but not quite, right? So I... check this out. My booking was at 3. I misread. I got there at 4. So that was rad. So, and because the day started earlier, had my Ritalin earlier in the day. So as I was hitting them at 4 o'clock, I was on my like way out, right? It was bad. Just chaos head. So as I'm sitting there chatting to the guy, and I'm like, yeah, man, hey, you know, you guys are just down the road from me. I'm in Highton. Like, I'm pretty sure I was at a bar in Torquay semi-recently, and I saw someone wearing a shirt. That may have been that guy. Also, turns out the designer that we were chatting to knows my housemate. Like, they do swordcraft together. So they LARP in a park near us together. So that was cool. But yeah, so we're having a chat. And because I was in my coming off Ritalin, my brain was all kinds of chaos, but it actually really opened me up to the game and a lot more than I was already keen. But then as I'm playing it, like, so this is the thing. So they're not based on any TRPG or anything for like, very, you know, obviously with the back of Baldur's Gate, like everyone's kind of really, you know, setting things up as they normally would. But so it's got a whole bunch of Australianisms within the skill tree. Like, you can have a thing called punt. So you have, it's almost like chance, but it's like you have a punt, right? So for, say if it's like, you know, you need a skill check of 16 and you're 15, if your punt's good enough, I might just pop it up for you. You know, it's just kind of very Australian. I have a punt and give it a bell. But the game itself is set in like WA, so Outback WA, which is exciting in this post-apocalyptic time. They had this incredible First Nations actor whose name escapes me right now. He has recently passed, which is sad, but he is like the narrator for the demo, which is awesome. Just kind of really adds this sense of Australian, because all the voice actors in the game are Australian, right? But not like that real turned up, yeah, yeah, Australian, but more of that like organic Australian voice. So
I feel like the turned up would have been way better. As an Aussie, it would have been way better.
There are some that are more than others, which is the way our accent works.
Like, a full-blown house-o.
Yeah, like there are some words that just have that real twang to them, and that makes it even better. Because this game is, you know, getting world recognition, so much so it was on the front of PC Gamer recently, they've had to consider international markets, right?
So they've had to change up some of the vernacular so people understand.
No, they've kept it as it is, but because it's all turn-based and it's all conversational, the words that are that you may not know if you're not from Australia are highlighted. And you can click on it with your mouse and it will give you a like Australian...
Like an urban dictionary.
Like an urban dictionary, right? It'll be like, you know, something bog. And then it's like, click it, it's like, a colloquialism for a toilet. I'm like, oh my God. You know, it was just these little touches that made me, that popped me, man. That was just so dumb, right? You know, it's just one of those things I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That's mad. And then in those little details as well, like because it's this post-apocalyptic wasteland, you know, sort of Australiana things are everywhere, like, you know, the bins with the various colored lids, you know, those white deck chairs that everyone seems to have, all these little details that just make it feel like unapologetically Australian. And one of the things I was talking about with the dev, the creative director, who's dope, by the way, and, you know, the plan is for PlayStation in the near future, not at launch with the PC version, but a little bit later, as they sort of, like, suss it out, and also they set the game up so you can play it with controller, so, like, they don't have to, like, wait to port it, like, it's ready to go. So, I lost my train of thought. Oh, Australiana, right, because Australia, we are and always have been a very multicultural country, right? So what is Australian is really hard. Like, if you think about, like, other countries that have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of built-in culture. Now, of course, our country has that culture, but that's our First Nations people. Like, we as white folks have only really been around for barely anything. So, like, and then the 80s, I think the 80s was the real big peak of Australian culture, having a very clearly defined visual style, language, expression, you know, all these things that I think have kind of faded away over time. And some of them good, they went away, like our just built-in racism. But, you know, there are some things like how we speak and just sort of how, you know, how we like very casual and relaxed and just all these little things that Australia has, which are like is dripping in this game, right? So, like, I am in no way a patriot. I'm just lucky. I'm just happy to be born on this bit of dirt here compared to a dirt somewhere else. But it is nice to have moments where I can sit here and go, all right, this is Australia. This is my culture. Because, you know, because I, one of the things that I've always had a problem with, Max, is this whole side tangent. It's because I'm like 9 generations Australian, white. It's just white dude, white dude, white dude. And then if you go back further, it's white dude in a different location. I don't have that connection to my culture or my history because I don't really have one. Right, you know, if you have people that are from, like, say, European countries, and like, oh, we're Polish, and we have this Polish tradition, that blah, 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 blah. And like, I'm like, a bunch of Australian. What's mine? Lamingtons, I guess. You know, it's like, we don't have that history. So it's kind of nice to have something that hits what I would consider part of our culture, I guess. That makes sense? Max, make sense?
Yeah.
But one of the other things I really like about the game as well, apart from all that.
But in my mind, the whole time you were speaking of that, I'm just like, I wonder if I could fight a kangaroo. Oh, are they drop bears? Like,
yeah.
My mind went out.
It actually has
talking
this...
about your ancestors. <It's> like...
One of the things I really enjoyed about this game as well is, and the demo is still available. It's on the Steam store. Go check it out. It was only supposed to be there for Next Fest, but then it got extended because it's just super popular, which I didn't jump on the demo at the time because I missed it because it was out of the Next Fest. And they went, yeah, no, we just extended it. So check it out. I'm like, all right, deal.
Link is in the chat.
Thank you. Pardon Friday for those that are joining us. But yeah, check out Broken Roads. I love its morale system. So it's a circle, and you can move around it at any given time. So you might be, you know, quite utilitarian, but then you might respond with something a bit more of the Machiavellian, something a little bit more humanitarian. But like, rather than just being like a line, we're like, oh, you're good, you're bad. Like, things move around in that circle. So you might come a little bit closer here and a little bit there. And so
it's a spectrum as opposed to a grid.
So it's a spectrum of morality, which is dope. Because, like, you can lay it out and you can, like, it gives you a bunch of questions at the start that just kind of give an idea of, like, what each. So if you've never heard of what, like, Machiavellian morality is, like, oh, I don't know what that is. Or utilitarian, humanitarian, whatever, whatever, right? There's, like, a nihilist one, too, which is tons of fun. Oh, I think masochist? No, not masochist. I think it was just nihilist, right? Where you just be like, I don't give a fuck. It's, like, really kind of fun from a morale perspective.
The classic Australian.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, whatever. So that was really sick, and I think people will have a lot of fun with that morale system, on just sort of how you can tweak it rather than simply good, bad, you know, like chaotic, neutral. They kind of take away a lot of that.
Whoa! Don't be dissing my fucking morality
no.
grid.
No, I'm not. I quite like that grid. That grid is great, but this one adds a little bit more nuance where you can, like, little do you realize you're suddenly over here when you thought you'd be over here, and you're curious on how the world takes all that information in.
Lawful evil for life.
Yeah. But yeah, that's coming out in November 17th on your PCs. No confirmed PlayStation date as of yet. But as I mentioned, there is control support. They haven't patched it into the demo yet because they're just waiting for a couple little tweaks to be resolved. But it's very likely that'll be pushed in a patch to the demo soon. And then from there, we'll have a more locked-in date about it coming to consoles, which is exciting. One little thing I want to mention, though, just un-game-related. So earlier in the year, I was kindly interviewed by the team over at Audio Technica, which is a brand that we use. I use their headphones, we use their mics, you use their little earbuds at your job. We shamelessly wear their gear all the time. And it was awesome. We're going to talk about my content creation history, working in the wrestling space. And of course, we got to record our pod there this year on the floor. We've done it pretty much every year except last year because we left it too late. We just went to a different booth. But when I did the interview earlier in the year, they said they would send me out some stuff. Got lost in the mail. Didn't come to fruition. But so when I met with them on PAX weekend, they gave me this. So you might not be able to see it in the camera. So this is a Daruma. Daruma? That's how you pronounce it. So it's essentially, it's a little good luck charm. In that, so when you go to do your next project, your next endeavor, you draw one eye, your pupils on one of the eyes, and then you, oh, hello. Hey, bud. It's been a little while since my son's broken in. But yeah, so you do the pupil in one eye, and then when your journey is finished or your project is complete, you draw the other eye. And the idea is that the totem gives you good luck. It's been ages since he's broken in. But yeah, the idea is that, yeah, so it gives you good luck while you're working on that project. I haven't quite worked out what that project is going to be yet. But we'll give it a bell. So on a fun note of nostalgia, my son bought some, we bought some tech decks today because apparently it's 2005 and I'm super happy with it. All right. All right, time. Go to bed. Love you. I'll see you soon. So shout out to them. Very, very kind, to have a really adorable little son and also a little, token. It means a lot because, like, it was handmade and it was shipped over from the team over at Audio Technica in Japan, which is even cooler. So I really appreciate that. And then they were kind of like, anything you want that's out there, it's yours. You just tell me. I was like, are you shitting me? I was already taken aback by my cool little trinket, which will live there until I whatever thing. Oh, it's going to live there forever, I'm sure. Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, just pick whatever you want. So I got myself a lovely pair of the Audio-Technica M50Xs, but the Bluetooth version. Might bring them here and get rid of this wire. Because wires are lame.
Yeah, how lame are fucking wires? Might barely make it to my fucking computer.
But yeah, so big shout out to that. But yeah, PAX was great. Got like hella wrecked a lot. Like mostly the Friday night got real rowdy. Ooh, way too old. This is the one thing I learned, right? As I feel like I've been talking flat for about 45 minutes. I can't handle PAX like I used to, Max. Like I used to. Part of me just wants to handle PAX like we did 6 years ago. Can't do it. Too old.
I don't know what that is. I wasn't there 6 years ago.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I'm curious on your thoughts about this. Because one of the things that we were discussing is like, it's interesting that we are sort of the old guard in like the mid to upper low gaming content, like, because we've been doing it near a decade at this point, pretty close to a decade at this point. And then a lot of my other, my colleagues in the space, they've been doing it for just as long. And it's just fascinating to sort of being like, oh wow, we've been doing this forever, and like we're all still here. Some have come and gone, but a lot of us are still here, still going, still kicking. Like, wow, fascinating. And then I found this really interesting statistic. Where was it? Do I still have a picture on my phone? And of course, I can't find it while I'm trying to think about it. But it was essentially the idea that if you get more than like 20 hits of your podcast, you are already in the top 50% of podcasts in the world.
Because
there are so many. And it was interesting because it kind of like put into weird perspective what we do. Because like we get substantially more than that, right? But I've always sat here going, oh man, like it's been so low. Like we've never really hit it, et cetera, et cetera. But it's nice to sort of have this moment of, oh, well, maybe things aren't all bad. We're still around. We're still doing stuff. But yeah, and as MGB in the chat says, it's kind of insane how the games media has changed so much in the span of a decade. Yeah, really has, which is also insane. Like, the amount of content creators at PAX this year comparative to previous years. Poof. But yeah, third?
It's my third PAX, second as media. So I'm not as cynical as you guys yet, says the guy who was like fucking over it by 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. It's one of those things, like, now that I'm on the other side, it does change things. Because when I went to PAX as a person, and I bought my pass, and I'm like, it was having that experience was cool. Now it's I try and do as much as I possibly can in that media hour, so I just don't have to dick around.
And for us, we record a video and then go to whatever it's caught our attention.
You know what I mean, like, yeah. Because like, there's so much stuff there, and you only really, to a degree, like, I'm not a huge indie guy. I found the indies that looked interesting to me, and I obviously got to play them. But of the big hitters, you know what interests you, and generally they're the ones pulling the biggest crowd. And it's not fun waiting in lines for a few hours to play what is essentially a 10-minute demo. Like, it's rough. Which
we understand. And what we're bitching about right now is entitled as hell.
And but when I didn't have that, it didn't feel so bad. Because it's like, I have this opportunity to play something early. This is cool. This is my, this is going to be my only chance. And now that I'm on the other side of that fence, you know how they say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? In this case, it's fucking way greener. So it's lost that spark, and we've talked about this through like what used to be E3 week and all that stuff. Those used to be those really, you know, I used to get up and watch them.
I miss E3 week, so
as as a consumer, they used to hit different. Now, on this side of the fence, they hit different because they're not as, they don't feel as impactful as they used to, because this is what used to be the first time I would get information or viewing of these things. Now it's not so much.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes away that.
Yeah, we're in this kind of sweet space where there are some things we know about early, and when they pop up at events, we go, oh yeah, cool. But like,
The analogy is like, the analogy is like you open your Christmas present, you get to see your Christmas present before it's wrapped up, and then you have to open it on Christmas Day. You already know what it is, so that excitement's gone.
Like, we can't talk about the details, obviously, but like, you know, we're playing Spider-Man 2 right now, right? Both you and I have finished it, can't talk about it. I got the platinum, can't talk about it. The game hasn't come out for a week, and we're like done with it. Like, we've got to record our pods and stuff, which is exciting. But like, it's fascinating, right? Because like, you said, like, we've seen our Christmas present like 3 weeks before Christmas, and we're done with it. We've played with it. We're like, okay, well, now what's next?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's so insane. Like, it's such a beautiful and a privileged place, and I'm really glad. Yeah. And I'm very grateful, and I always will be.
Yeah, for sure. It just feels like it's lacking that oomph these days.
Yeah, and like with PAX, as like you said, Friday you go ham.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the quieter day, because a lot of people couldn't get off work, etc.
Because the other thing is, like, a lot of people that go to PAX on Friday, it's bizarre. So I caught up with a few friends that I used to play Final Fantasy Online with on the Friday. And they're like, you know, we're in the queue, we'll be in soon. I'm like, cool, I'm kind of standing at the entrance playing some games, just come find me. And they're like, oh, we're hitting the merch booth straight away.
Dude, I have
They line up for 3 hours to get into PAX and then stand in another line for another 2 hours to buy merch.
Thing. Like, because it's just PAX branded merch, I don't need to wear that, right? It's just not important to me.
Well, I mean, my biggest PAX disappointment this year was I couldn't win a Final Fantasy t-shirt.
Yeah, that's a good pretty disappointment, eh?
Because Final Fantasy just wasn't there this year.
They were, but like, the little thing.
Yeah, but they had like 3 PCs running.
Yeah. Look, as I was saying, look, Friday, you go ham because it's quieter. Saturday, just don't fucking bother because it's so nuts. Sunday, most people that had a 3-day pass have kind of gotten bored, so they don't always show up to Sunday. Sunday sells less tickets. So like, and then everything gets discounted and they start like handing shit out for next to nothing. So like,
yeah, but that's because everything's sold on the Friday, because like, everyone wants that stuff before it sells out. Like, you see everyone walking out with like those fucking themed mystery boxes.
Trash, by the way. It's just it's just a scheme to like hawk shit they don't want, because there's a God of War one. Almost bought it.
Well, I nearly walked out with a board game one, because they charge you $65 and it's got $150 worth of board games in it. You don't know what it is. It's just a fucking blank box.
Yeah.
So,
which is frustrating, because like the God of War one, I'm like, but it's also very possible that I have the 5 collectibles that are in there, not for sale.
Mate, it's not like you didn't walk out with some God of War collectibles.
Yeah, I've lost some Blades of Chaos. They're on my wall.
Come on, where are they? Oh, they're on your wall.
Now they're on my display wall with my statues and my Thor hammer and my axe. It's all part of the gimmick. Look, so we sit here and we're being pretty cynical, but like, PAX still means a lot to me.
Yeah.
And that there is nothing else. And I always tend to leave PAX feeling insanely invigorated.
Drained.
Like, apart from just being fucking tired, but like, I get content accelerated, right? I'm like, I just want to like do shit. And like, this week I've been having fun on Twitter again. I'm like, just because I felt motivated to like fuck around on Twitter. You know, it's good. Like, I love PAX for that. And I get to, like, you know, go and, you know, shake hands with people. Like, an example, like, the rep for Square Enix and Bandai here in Australia. We've been working with them for, like, literal years. Never met them. But we got to stand with them, talk absolute garbage outside of Tekken 8. and just
watch him tear someone a new one because they were
trying to fight everyone in the line for some reason. And then we bumped into each other at Fortress, and he had a mate of his from Bandai Japan, and we watched them play. What's the Tokai no
Tokai Tokai no the Tokai Tokai drums?
Yeah. Fucking smashed it. By the way, that dude was insane. And then we also got to meet with the PR rep that we deal with for EA as well. She was lovely. You know, it's just one of those things. Just like for us, in the amount of time that we've been doing it, and because there isn't an EB Expo or anything else anymore, and this is it. And like, we don't go, well, because we're not based in Sydney, we don't go to events because A, we don't get invited because we're like too fucking low. But like, the other damage that we have is because we're just PlayStation and it doesn't happen. You know, so we only get to really see people when we're here in Melbourne, and they come here and they go, hey, I'm like, yeah, how you going? And it's just lovely to put a face to a name, right? We also met with one of the reps from Ubisoft as well, who we've been dealing with. Also fucking lovely. It's just so cool to put faces to names when everything's done via email. It's so nice. And for me, and yeah, we also met some of the, sorry, MGB in the chat. We also met some of the play on peeps as well, which I already knew, but there was one who used to work with Ubisoft and now works with Ubisoft, Xbox, and now play on. So that was dope too. And then of course the co-op drinks on the Friday night are always fun. Always fun. But yeah, look, there's like half an hour of PAX chat. Enjoy that. Because look, it is the biggest thing in the Southern Hemisphere. It's our big Christmas. It's where we all get to come together and have fun and just see all our friends and, you know, play games and do pods. And like, oh, I did Bitstorm, I believe it was called. Bitstorm? No. I don't remember. There was one of the shows I did, which you pitch an idea that is stupid. You pitch an idea. So the idea is like with a random word generator, they pull two words and you've got to pitch a game about those two words. Fucking dumb, but it's so much fun. I've done the podcast 3 times now, and each time it's just absolute batshit insanity. And I shout out to those two boys. Great show. But look, outside of that, Max, we've been playing. Apart from Spider-Man, we can't talk about it.
Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Oh, yeah, big thank you to the team Ubisoft Australia for providing us the root code for Assassin's Creed Mirage.
So Assassin's Creed Mirage is the going back to its roots. It's very much akin to the old school Assassin's Creed games where you go to the bureaus, you get your contracts, you do the investigations, then you kill the big bad. It's good. Really, really good. It feels a little bit clunky, like the old ones. So there's some pros and cons. The assassin bureaus are like exactly what I remember too. Like it's fantastic. So this one's set in Baghdad. It's you play as Basim as he humble street thief turned assassin, and you're trying to deal with, you know, the evil corrupt goings on in Baghdad. I'm really enjoying it. Like I said, it is that callback to the before times, to the earlier times before they went all fucking RPG on us for some reason. The gear system is still very similar to how it has been in the newer ones. They've kind of just dropped the numbers, so you just have 3 upgrade points and they get better as you upgrade them, all that stuff. They've brought back all the you know, being able to cloak in crowds and sitting on park benches and all that stuff that you remember from the days of old. But it feels dated because of it.
Yeah, that's the downside.
The character models look old, as if they're like previous generation. It's really bizarre.
It's kind of like... Because we were discussing this when we played Dead Island 2. It's like, oh my god, this game's great, like, and that it throws back to older sort of zombie games, and you go, yeah, but then you're playing an older zombie game, you know?
Well, they have kept all the quality of life improvements, so similar to like the more recent games, if you put a pin on your map, you can call in your, in this you have a camel instead of a horse, you can call in your camel and go, I want to go to my pinpoint location, then you can turn on the cinematic camera and you can just fucking watch it. You don't have to pick around. And, you know, so all those quality of life improvements that they have added over the years are still there, which is great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've very much gone back to the original style, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it seems like they haven't taken enough of what was new and made these new ones so special and fused them together enough to make it like one cohesive thing. as poorly worded as that was. Hopefully you understand. So, you know, you're still climbing the fucking towers, synchronizing the things to get all your pop-ups on the screen.
Stuff,
and,
yeah.
You know, and then obviously there's still the, each location has a certain set of tasks. So, you know, clear contracts, find the shards, loot all the collectibles, collect all the points of interest, like all that stuff. They're still all there. The areas are cool. The parkour system's fine. Mm. It's not great. It's not as good as it has been. It is better. There's times where you can see, because obviously a lot of the paths are predetermined for you. You can kind of see, you're like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to go. This is how I'm supposed to run it. And for whatever reason, you know, you'll jitter step and then you won't make the jump, or you'll just randomly stop for some reason. There's some issues to it. Now, we received our code day of release, so I am playing on the day one patch and all of that stuff. It just, yeah, it feels... There's a reason why it's an $80 game and not a $120
game.
Well,
apparently part of that is also that it was kind of originally meant to be DLC for Valhalla? Yeah. I believe.
Which would be really bizarre, but...
Yeah, there's a character that kind of comes in there. I'm not quite sure, because I got a good hunk into Valhalla, and then I sort of got distracted and wandered off, so...
But I'm about 10 to 12 hours deep now.
Nice.
I've assassinated 3 of the major targets. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying my time with it. The weapons are cool. Each kind of weapon that you unlock has obviously certain abilities, and then if you pair that with you get a sword or a dagger, essentially, one in each hand, and then if you pair them up, they kind of complement each other. So the ones I'd been using for the longest time was the sword was every fifth consecutive hit you would poison an enemy. Mm-hmm. And then if you were using the dagger, if you killed a poisoned enemy with a melee attack, it would create a poison cloud poisoning everything around you, which is rad. I just unlocked the weapon and armor set for collecting all the mysterious shards.
Mm-hmm.
And that is every third hit you regain your health.
Mm-hmm.
But the catch is you have 50% max HP.
Yeah, that's sorry for me.
At that risk and reward. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I'm enjoying my time. It's cool going back to that investigation style gameplay that the original ones had. Kind of, you know, got you more involved as opposed to just running through hack and slash runaway type thing.
Yeah, not having all that, you know, level gatey, like just because your gear's better, suddenly something gets resolved.
It very much feels like an older game compared to the likes of Valhalla, Origins, and Odyssey.
Yeah. So in the chat, MGB does ask, were they trying to make Valhalla a platform? No. It was kind of, my understanding was this was originally meant to be the idea for DLC, which then they just kind of went, let's just expand it and become its own little side thing, from my understanding.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But look, speaking of games, So once we finish the other game we're talking about before, I'm in the process right now. I think I'm just going to try rip up some backlog, right? Let's start clear out some stuff. Pardon me. So I spent, been spending a bit of time with Immortals of Avium again, trying to get roll through credits on that bad bitch. And game still rocks, still very good. I think it's because I expected it to be shorter, just because I want it to be done. Very similar to Sea of Stars. I'm like, are you done yet?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out not. Like, oh, you just murdered the big bad guy. Nah, you didn't. He escaped through some fucking wormhole or some nonsense. So I think I'm got like 2 chapters left or something, which is not all that much at all. But the game rocks. I really dig it. Like, I'm real, like, you, once you start to nail the magic systems and how it all works, and then the spells and your little fucking powers, like, it just makes it a ton of fun to really string together. So that Doom influence is certainly there as you're, like, ducking and weaving and switching weapons, and, like, you know, it doesn't quite have, like, the movement and verticality that I found that it I thought it would. Like, you're kind of shifting and jumping and hovering, but not, like, to the speed. But the shooting and, like, the having to switch your gun style is very Doom Eternal. I'm still really digging it. Man, we're going just talking a long time about fucking packs and games we've been playing. Max, you have been playing Lords of the Fallen.
I have been playing Lords of the Fallen, so a huge thank you to the team at Five Star for providing a code for that. So I dove into it yesterday on day of launch. I have played about 5-ish hours. So this is kind of like the soft reboot prequel of 2013's Lords of the Fallen. Mm. So I believe it's set like 100 years after that. After that game, so it is the new Souls-like on the scene, and the big gimmick of this Soulsborne. Obviously, I've been talking about Lies of P, which was the Pinocchio-style game. So the gimmick for this one is you are a crusader, and you have this lantern that allows you to see into essentially the death world. So they refer to the two worlds as like Astral
Shadow
and Umbral.
Shadow Realm or something like
that? Yeah, essentially. Yeah. It's like they refer to them as Astral and Umbral. Okay. So the worlds run simultaneously, and if you hold your lantern up, it will show you the other world.
Oh, look, I remember that being a thing with Dishonored, and it was sick.
Which is cool. So, like, there's a door in your way, but if in the other world there's not, you hold your lantern up, you can just fucking walk through the wall. Dope. It's great. The lantern has a bunch of other abilities. It has the ability to, like, flay souls, so you can rip souls out of living creatures and smack the crap out of their souls because you deal more damage to them. You can use it to interact
sometimes
with the
world. Sometimes I have felt that. I have felt that someone's ripped my soul out, slapped it about, and put it back in. So it's pretty relatable.
Yeah, so, but one of the coolest things is when you die, if you are in the real world, quote unquote, when you die, it automatically puts you to the death world and you respawn. So if you're fighting a boss, you essentially have one extra life. You get a free respawn, which is kind of cool. Mm. It's a second chance mechanic for a Dark Souls game, which is cool. There are some times where you have to forcibly, send yourself to the Shadow Realm, quote unquote, which will, you know, strip you of that free revive.
Ooh, how Constantine.
But you can, there's essentially these effigies, these totems in that realm to bring yourself back to life, and then it will revert back to the overworld as opposed to the underworld. So it's a really cool mechanic. The game is completely playable in co-op.
Cool.
So there's no dicking around with summon signs. You literally hit this version of the bonfire and you go, I want to summon my friend, and you send them a game invite.
Sick.
And then they just join you. There's no disappearing after you fight a boss. There's no disappearing when you enter a new zone. They're just there forever.
Nice.
It's great. You can't travel too far apart. The game will be like, nah, you have to stay within a certain range of each other. You can't just fuck off and do your own thing.
Makes sense.
Which is fun. The summoned player doesn't progress any story. They get no key items.
Okay.
So there's that downside.
If you're the summoned player, of course. Yeah.
If you are the summoned player, which I have been. I haven't been the main player. Which is fine. Not a big deal. The benefit to being the summoned player is you don't lose your souls when you die. as opposed to if you are the host, you will lose your souls if you die before you collect them again. You don't have to ever collect your souls as a summon player. The Estus flask is essentially a crucifix this time around. You heal yourself. The host player can revive you as many times as you die, as long as they've got uses of their healing potions. So that's cool. The game's a blast. Very Souls-like, very... if I was to liken it combat-wise to one of them, it would be closer to Bloodborne than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely digging it off the back of Liza P. It's much harder than Liza P was. So yeah, it's been really fun, and I'm, you know, playing it co-op with one of my friends, and yeah, it's been fantastic. So I'll be talking about this for, you know, the foreseeable future.
At least another week.
Hopefully I'll have it finished by next weekend, but yeah, I'm about 6 hours deep and killed two of the major bosses so far, and yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The design of these bosses are absolutely fantastic. I would say close to Elden Ring level of like boss variants. The character models are awesome. The boss mechanics so far have been absolutely fantastic. Like the very first boss you fight, like the first actual boss you fight, was this just amazingly...
I do care. I just got to blow my nose. Keep chatting. I'll be right back.
No, you're right. It was this amazing like Fallen Angel style fight. The mechanics of it has been, you know, really interesting to, you know, try and change up what has been done now, you know, a million times now. Everyone's trying to make a Soulsborne. This one's working so far for me. So yeah, definitely, you know, if you're interested, it's probably easier than an actual Dark Souls style game, but especially if you're playing it in co-op mode. But so far, this game's been awesome fun. So yeah, I'm gonna be playing that for quite some time. Character models are cool. The locations are cool. The puzzle solving between you know going into the overworld and the underworld, having to, you know, do things that will affect both things is awesome fun. My only gripe so far has been that to jump you need to sprint and push the interact button. And if you're sprinting, you can't interact with anything because you automatically jump. So if you're sprinting to a ladder and you hit X to climb, you'll just fucking jump. Or if you run over an item and go to pick it up, you'll just jump. There's been so many times I've fucking jumped off the map trying to pick up an item because I've been accidentally sprinting.
It is frustrating. So same goes with like Immortals. Like Square is the button to interact with anything. It's the button to reload, but it's also if you hold it, which you also need to hold it to unlock a chest. But holding Square recharges your mana crystal, so it's like, let's open this chest, recharge mana crystal. Fuck.
So yeah, there's been, and the other thing is that it kind of makes sense. When you're playing co-op, your co-op person, you cannot walk through them.
Okay.
If you both try and jump a gap at the same time, you can totally just fucking smack into each other and kill you. Yeah.
Awesome.
Which happened a few fucking times. But yeah, so far the game's great. You know, massive improvement on 2013's, which is, you know, understandably so. We're, you know, fucking 9 years in the future now, 10 years in the future now. It looks great. It runs like absolute asshole in quality mode. It looks stunning.
Runs like crap.
But there is noticeable frame drops. Put it in performance mode, it's great. Absolutely fantastic. But in quality mode, it does look way better than it runs, unfortunately. Which goes for most of those style of games, to be fair. And I prefer performance over quality anyway, so I generally play most of my games in performance.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
Probably the only,
yeah,
me that's too. Probably the only... that. Like, even in the menus, it's noticeably different. There's a noticeable difference from fucking quality mode to performance.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. An hour later, let's get in the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Let's kick things off.
Oh, the show's so long already.
I don't know, right? How good was it last week when we kept to a 1 hour time?
No, it was 40 minutes.
Yeah, it was even less, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's kick things off with the games coming to PlayStation Extra and Premium this month.
Or Deluxe in Stria.
We have Gotham Knights, Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes, Disco Elysium, Final Cut.
Yes, nice.
Far Changing Tides, Gungrave Gore, Elite Dangerous, Dead Island Definitive Edition, Alien Isolation, Outlast 2, Elder Souls, and Rookie. And coming to the premium, we have Tekken 6, the PSP Classic.
Nice.
Soul Calibur Broken Destiny, the PSP Classic. Oh. Ape Escape Academy, PSP Classic. And finally, a PS1 Classic, IQ Final.
Fuck. Well, the premium / deluxe still sucks asshole. But at least the extra is pretty good. Gotham Knights is cool. It's, you know, it's good. It's fine. It's better. It's more in a multiplayer setting is a much better experience.
It's more fun with friends.
So now there's no barrier of entry. Win. House of Ashes rules. Disco Elysium fucks. That game is awesome. Elite Dangerous is one I've always wanted to check out, but apparently it's like a super hard, like semi space game. So space like cargo sort of setup.
Yeah.
I think very, not Eve. Maybe it's Eve. I don't remember. But yeah.
And then on the back end of that news, premium streaming is finally getting done, except if you live in Australia. So depending on your region, you'll be able to enjoy, quote, supported titles from the from Sony's top streaming tier without needing to download them as soon as next week. The functionality will extend to game trials, so you'll be able to test the time-limited demos effectively on demand. Hundreds of games will be available at launch, such as Resident Evil 4, Dead Island 2, Genshin Impact, Fall Guys, and Fortnite. You'll be able to stream up to 2160p, depending on your internet connection. You'll also be able to drop image quality as required in favor of improved performance. You'll be able to capture screenshots and up to 3 minutes of video, all which will be made available via the media gallery in the PlayStation app. Quote, we hope players will enjoy this new PS5 streaming feature that will be automatically added to their PS Plus premium membership. Japan will be the first territory to test drive the new feature on the 17th of October, Europe on the 23rd, with North America being last on the 30th of October. Do keep in mind you need to live in a country that supports PlayStation Plus Premium, cloud streaming, which we don't in Australia, and there's a full list over on the PlayStation blog. So what was initially promised to be a launch feature is coming now, and still not everywhere.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love that for us.
Yeah. You only need, according to them, a 35 megabit connection to be able to stream in 2160p.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who doesn't have a 35 megabit connection in this country.
Yeah, look, I think the challenge that we face
here is that we stream all our shit from Europe for PlayStation.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like, what is our, like, what's our ping? You know, and I think there's a little bit of a problem of averages.
Yeah.
In that, like, where we are, yeah, shit rules. But, like, on average, how are we looking? you know what I mean? Like, it's very likely that, like, there are regional centers, like, regional areas of this country that just cannot do it. You know what I mean? And I think that will, like, be a big deciding factor for them to be like, oh, well, we can only meet so many people. Does that make sense?
For sure.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking anyway. But it is a mix of, like, once again, we're continuing to be given a shit end of the stick when it comes to the PlayStation Plus. We don't have premium. And now there's another feature that we don't get, and we're still paying an exorbitant amount of money for, if you so go to that tier. And we would encourage that you don't. Get extra.
Correct.
That's it. And you're fine. Yeah,
extra step.
Like, bang for buck, extra fucks. But deluxe? Nope. Don't do it. Like, if we had premium in that we would get PS3 via streaming, etc., yeah, things would change. But I can't say with confidence right now. All right. Remember there was that rumor mill for a while there, Max, about, like, PS5 with a removable disc drive and a slim version?
I do.
Well, fuck you. They're both one thing now. They ain't two separate things. It's just one thing.
I would argue it's detachable, therefore it's two separate things. Fuck you. kind of gives it away with the removable disc drive.
Yeah, nice work. So Sony has announced this week and revealed the long-rumored new PS5 model, launching in November 2023 in the United States, with other countries maybe. This updated SKU has a smaller form factor and, as expected, a disc drive which can be brought and attached separately. So if you get the digital one, you can then buy the hard drive, plug her on in, get a different side panel, and fucking win. Bob's your uncle. So, here are the numbers. The new PS5 version has been reduced in volume by over 30%. So it's like a slimmer model, I guess. And as rumored, its side panels have been separated into four pieces, with the top two in a glossy finish and the bottom two in a matte finish. This would also explain why the new Deep Rock collection, whatever the fuck they were called, were delayed into the earlys of next year, because they are coming in variants of the older model and the new model. There you go. So for those of you who are like, "Ooh, I want the red one," and then you get a slim, you're like, "Ooh." So you'll be able to buy the new PS5 model with or without the disc drive already attached, and you'll be able to buy the disc drive separately and attach it if you so needed. So get a digital version, buy a disc drive when you need. It does come with a slight increase in storage, with now with a 1 terabyte SSD built in, which makes me question their entire arguments around why they picked 825. Because, oh, it's best for the optimums, whatever, Mahuzma, for... Why? Why then? Does that mean that the Slim runs... The SSD doesn't run as good? Because of the packaging or whatever when it comes to the RAMs and the... Okay, someone answer that for me. The pricing of the Blu-ray model is largely identical to the previous version, which is great, but the Digital Slim Edition has received a price increase in the US... So we're looking at $499.99 US for the disc drive version, or $449.99 for the digital. The disc drive itself will retail for $79.99 US. And as mentioned, Sony says the new PS5 will arrive at retail in November in North America, including participating retailers and its own PlayStation Direct online store. It confirms that the new model will replace the original once inventory of the launch models is depleted, which is why you'll see a lot of the disc drive original PS5s on sale at the moment. Let's see. Interestingly, Sony says a horizontal stand for the PS5 is included in the box, but goes on to say that a vertical stand compatible with all PS5 models, it's a lovely premium stand, is sold separately, and it's $30 US.
Yeah, it's $50 here in Australia. For a piece of plastic that comes in the box.
Oh my God. But like, on top of that, have you seen the price of like accessories like this for fucking Apple products, like your iMacs and whatever? Like, I've always, you know, we've long talked about like PlayStation kind of being the Apple of video games.
But like, Apple have never put shit in a box to begin with and then made a new model and gone, this is not going to be in it anymore.
Yeah, they have. The fucking plug.
Yeah, but every phone company did that. Every phone company's like, you own billions of phones, we're not going to give you plugs anymore. Fuck you guys. Which I'd argue is fair. I've got so many fucking USB fucking power plugs.
But yeah, no, it's one of those weirdly boutique-y things. They're like, oh, you get this lovely fucking possibly metal-looking stand. $50. I'm in a tough position. Oh, your baby noises?
Yeah, but it's actual baby, not Hadley.
Ah, cool. Actual baby. I'm in a tough position, right? As we discussed, like, I travel now with work. I take my PlayStation 5 with me. Dude, when it's carry-on, 1.5 kilos less is massive. 30% in size, like you saw a side-by-side picture, it looks completely different.
Mm.
It's tempting. If there's some good trade-in value somewhere, I would certainly consider it. Or if Sony can send me one, that'd be great. Hi, PlayStation Australia. How you doing?
Seeing as
PlayStation Portable... Seeing as the PlayStation Portal isn't likely unavailable here and or work here, I travel a lot. Oh, shit, I'll come to Sydney next time I'm working in there and just pick it up from you if you need to. Thank you. I appreciate it. Love you. Bye. So obviously you don't want a Slim Max at all.
No, I mean mine's fine. It hides behind my desk. I don't need it to be smaller. I don't, you know, it's It's not for me.
The removal with disk drive has my attention, though, because like I bought my PS5 with a disk drive thinking that I'd use it more, and I really don't. But then I want to be able to have it in case I want to watch 4K Blu-rays.
Yeah. I bought a disk version, like, just in case. There are times where I buy games physically just in case.
Yeah, it is very infrequent.
It is Call of Duty has become the one game that I actually buy every year.
Just because you want to be able to flip it later on?
Come on, yeah. I have that 7 days of safety of like, this is fucking trash, and get my money back.
You say that like you weren't smashing the open beta.
Oh, dude, I kind of played a few games in the open beta. No, they've made zombies an open world game now
for
Call of Duty, so I think I'm back. Pricks. Anyway, let's talk about gaining access to different control schemes in the Sony-verse. So earlier this year, Sony announced the PlayStation 5 Access Controller, a brand new and highly customizable input device designed to allow anyone, regardless of ability, to enjoy PlayStation 5 games. About time they finally caught up to what Xbox has been doing for the last couple of years with their, whatever their accessibility controller is called. I can't think of it at the moment. It launches on the 6th of December. I'm glad you don't know what either. That's what you're looking
for. Oh, Access Controller. Is that it? No, that's not it. That's
PlayStation's. Yeah, suck shit. Fuck. It's not just me, he's bad. This will launch on the 6th of December. Pre-orders are available now. And if you're looking for more information on the controller and how it came to be, Sony has put out a video on the blog.
Yeah, it is called the Access Controller.
Is it? It's the adaptive controller. Thank you, MGB. It is the Xbox adaptive controller.
Oh, the Xbox one. Yeah. The PlayStation one.
I know what the PlayStation one is. I fucking read it out 3 times in a row.
Well, I got distracted. Fuck you. It's 9:30. My meds wore out fucking 4 hours ago. So, I forgot to take a short actor before I did this show.
So, as well as going over what the Access controller can do in a nutshell, it has interchangeable buttons, a wide array of adjustable parameters. Fuck off.
It's Katy Perry song.
Parameters. Parameters. Fuck off. To meet the needs of any user. The PlayStation blog also introduces us to the Logitech G Adaptive Gaming Kit. This is a set of additional attachments for the Access controller to make it even more adaptable. Mm-hmm. It includes a further 8 buttons of different shapes and sizes. These can be easily inserted into the Access controller's 4 3.5mm ports. Logitech's pack also includes firm gaming mats upon which you can lay out the buttons with a hook and loop system. Yeah. Velcro ties to attach the mats and buttons to other surfaces and objects. Sticky labels so you can mark which buttons do what. This additional accessory kit will cost you about $80 US. Also noted in the blog post is the Access controller's packaging. It too has been designed with accessibility in mind, made to be openable with just a single hand by pulling special tabs on the box and its compartments. The entire project looks to have been very well thought out.
100%. So for those of you may or may not remember, my previous employment before what I do now, I used to work in disability and mental health support services using games as therapy. So yeah, this is exactly fucking rad. And as much as I love the Xbox Adaptive Controller, because I do believe it's incredible, and it has been, but like the base kit is just a box with 2 buttons on it, right? And then you had to get the Logitech kit to expand it into be something really usable. I love that with the Access Controller, it comes with buttons, and then if the idea of having your hands too close together is challenging, they can spread it out so you can get foot pedals, and you can get like extra buttons and pads in case your arms don't come together in that way. So it's fucking rad. And it's really nice to see that PlayStation are entering that market now. And to make it better, they're entering it with purpose. And they've got this planned out. And they do. And shout out to Logitech again for like continuing that support and presenting a kit for them as well. Is it something I'm going to check out? Probably not. Mostly because it's not for me, and that's okay. If I was in my old employment, 100%. But I'm not. Which sucks, because being redundant is poo. But I love that this exists. Simple as that. I love it. Even the packaging is a dope concept, right? So good.
They've done well. It's nice to see that they're finally physically caught up to what they're already doing on a development.
Yeah, so on a software standpoint, they're now backing it up with hardware, which rules.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was getting at.
Sometimes I'm good at words. All right, let's get into the quick bits. First one, big one. Don't know why you threw it in the quick bits, Max.
I'm so sick of talking about it too.
Microsoft now own Activision Blizzard King as the UK regulators gave them the thumbs up and the $68.7 billion deal is across the line. So now that it's done, how we feeling?
If WoW comes to Games Pass, best day of my life.
If what, sorry, comes to Game Pass?
World of Warcraft comes to Games Pass.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, look, where I'm sitting at right now is, I always knew it was going to come, but as I've said before, everyone's optimistic. Like, oh, man, it's good shit. We're going to, oh, it's nothing but win. Like, no, it's not. Like, Microsoft don't have a good track record. They haven't. And they're Starfield, not a success story for them. That game was in heavily active development before it ever fucking was purchased by Microsoft. That was originally booked to be a PlayStation 5 exclusive alongside Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo, right? So the only games that Microsoft can claim, I think technically, is Redfall and maybe Hi-Fi Rush, and both of them were pretty average, so... Microsoft can barely...
Redfall has single-digit concurrent players.
Yes. Microsoft can barely look after and support the studios they currently have. So buying more won't make better quality. Once again, the reason they bought them was to bolster their subscription service. We've seen recently that subscription service does not make money. Therefore, they're not going to invest money in things outside of the big things. So expect Call of Duty to be shitter than it was before. And I'm like, not to have a dig at MGB, who's our mate in here in the chat. They're excited for Soldier of Fortune. Don't hold your breath. They're just because Microsoft own it now doesn't mean they're going to bring back all the games that you loved. Because Microsoft kind of don't give a fuck. The best case scenario that you might get is you might get a butthole port of the old version through, what's it called? Not Play Anywhere. What's it called? Is it Play Anywhere? They're backwards compatibility, right? That's your best. Oh, yeah. That is your best case scenario. Like, they don't have the money to go, you know what we should do? Let's make a port of Simpsons Hit and Run. Let's just pay that licensing again. No fucking chance. They are both big corporations that they're not in it for the creative endeavor. They're in it for the cash. Is PlayStation the same? Fuck right they are. But they at least have a bit more of a creative care. And, you know, once again, we look at their list of their releases. It's fucking Game of the Year contender, Game of the Year contender, Game of the Year contender, Game of the Year contender. Microsoft haven't had a Game of the Year contender since probably the early 2000s. Really. And we expect them now, they just have a fuck ton more on their plate, that suddenly they're just going to become a better company? That's naive thinking. And am I cynical? Fuck yeah, I'm cynical. But what we're going to... What I'm really glad is that now...
Do you want me to hold him?
Now that Microsoft... Yeah.
Back in a second.
That's right. So now that Microsoft has gained this extra, you know, things to their portfolio, we can just see them handle a bunch, you know, just down bring the downfall of more platforms, of more games. Isn't that exciting? I can't wait. Good shit. What's the chat saying? Let's see. I'm just out here waiting for Xbox to do something with Soldier of Fortune. They ain't going to. They're not going to do anything with Soldier of Fortune. They bought it for Call of Duty. They didn't buy it for Soldier. Like, yes, Soldier of Fortune may have been around prior to Call of Duty, but they didn't buy them for that. Those that may have been excited of like, oh, you know, maybe this means the return of Tony Hawk. No, it doesn't. A, the studio that did it, Vicarious Visions, no longer exists. And Microsoft aren't going to bring that studio back just because they know. They wanted Call of Duty. They bought it for Call of Duty. Yeah, no, there's babies. How adorable are the babies? The other reason why Activision was bought was because Activision management was attempting to kill the company. And do you think this is going to be better? Phil Spencer is also a poor manager. Does he have a list of sexual assault allegations? No. Cool. He's slightly better than Bobby Kotick. Well done. Bobby Kotick is getting a golden parachute out. Like he is like, oh, I'm going to leave as of 1st of January 2024 with all the money in the world. He got no punishment, nothing for all the shit he has done. Now, granted, he turned Activision around from a shit company to one of the most world biggest fucking $69 billion company. Don't, Phil Spencer ain't a hero. Next. X-Defiant delayed after inconsistencies during the beta test. First delayed because it didn't get certified. And now it's like, now the beta's hot poo. Meh, meh. Do you think it'll ever come out, Max?
No. She dead.
She did.
Like Skull and Bones.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, if it does, Jovan's be like, well, it got delayed a bunch of times, and, like, it really should be here. Like, it better come out pretty fucking good. Unity CEO John Riccitiello retires from role following pricing shitstorm. No, then he didn't retire. Then he got fucking fired. Bobby Kotick hints at more Guitar Hero. Don't. I love Guitar Hero. We had a great Guitar Hero session the other night. Sorry, Max, didn't invite you.
Yeah, typical.
No worries. You have a baby. You can't come play Guitar Hero.
Like,
Guitar Hero Live, when they tried to bring it back, was riddled full of microtransactions and a subscription service, and it was shit. Do you want more of that? No, you don't. It's not going to work. It is of its time in a good and bad. Mostly bad. I still love it, but it's not going to come back. Eat that dummy, you little bastard. Munch. Munch dummy. Oh, he's squirmy. Very squirmy, babies. All right. Oh, no, he's grabbing headphone cables. And, of course, Spider-Man 2 is now available for preload. He's all right. He can cry. He's fine. Oh. That takes me back. Because, like, a baby cry, like a little bubba cry, is so different to, like, once they get older. And it, like,
the concern was he won't wake his sister up if he's crying out here.
It's just one of those things where, like, oh, man, it just hits different in your ears. And, like, it kind of hits this old back of your brain sort of thing. So Spider-Man 2 is live. Heads up. The embargo is the 17th. We will have a review discussion up live for when that drops. And I believe the 19th is when, like, any video stuff gets done. You will have some videos up then as well. Looking forward to talk about it. I'm looking forward to picking up my 19 inches of Venom. I'm going to unbox that fucking statue, and then I've got to find where it's going to go here in the set, because that bitch be tall. Like, that bitch be huge. So I will have to, we'll have to make some space. The 19 inches of Venom.
Cool.
But yeah.
Oh, that's right. You ordered a bloody collector's edition.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? Once again, let's buy the copy of collector's edition of a game that I've already finished. Rad.
Yeah, it's because you're paying for the statue. Like,
I'm totally paying for the statue.
Yeah. The game is free with the statue.
Yeah. It was funny. Like, we're not talking about this, obviously not spoilers for the game, because it's very vague. But
no,
like,
no, don't say anything. You're not allowed to.
No, no. Like, cause we went to EB Games today, and there's like two costumes. And James's like, oh, we don't have those costumes. I'm like, no, because the game isn't out yet, you dickhead. Can you tell us at least that it looks good? No, I can't. No, we can't.
No.
We can't tell you anything other than that we have it.
Correct. But here are things that you can get this week.
Woo!
A Boy and His Blob, a retro collection, PS5, PS4, October 17th. Skull Island, The Rise of Kong, coming to both, October 17th. Sonic Superstars, coming to both, October 17th. Hellboy, Web of Word, coming to both.
Oh, October shit, is that 18th. The one that we saw?
Yes, it's the comic book
Fuck
style.
Yes! Gimme, 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 gimme on that one.
Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express, coming to both.
Nah, October fuck that. 19th. I want the one, get Agatha Christie, get MOA. Hellboy time.
Endless Dungeon, coming to both, October 19th. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, Turbocharged, coming to both, October 19th. Inescapable, No Rules, No Rescue, coming to both, October 19th. The Seventh Guest VR, coming to PS5, October 19th. The Gap, PS5, October 19th. Is that a simulation of the store The Gap, and you just sell shit to people?
Just shopping at The Gap.
Marvel's Spider-Man 2, PS5, October 20th. Tennis on Court, PS5, October 20th. And Warm Snow, coming to both, October 20th.
I want to play Warm Snow, because it sounds like P.
That's yellow snow.
No, still hot.
Warm snow is just water, dude.
Oh my god, it is.
I didn't play Sonic Superstars at PAX. I could not give two shits.
My kid loves Sonic, so I might harass Five Star. I used to
love Sonic, but for whatever reason, I fell off at like Sonic 3.
I don't get it. I will openly admit that I just don't get Sonic.
Actually, I must admit, one of my favorite games of all time is Sonic Adventure on the Dreamcast.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
The big one this week is obviously fucking Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Get ready, everyone.
Yeah, Spider-Man, obviously the biggie. As I said, embargo on the 17th. We'll have some good shit to go. Get excited. Yeah, I don't the Hellboy one looks sick too. It's probably about it, really. Beautiful. All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this slightly different night for those watching on Twitch, and longer than usual. Hot damn! Fucking talk about PAX for half an hour. Have kids breaking in, which was a lovely throwback.
Oh yeah, totally forgot. Mario Wonder totally comes out on the 20th as well.
Oh yeah. That looks cool.
It's going to outsell Spider-Man.
No fucking chance. Actually, probably it would. Probably it would.
So the Sony exclusive versus the Nintendo exclusive? Fuck off, as if Mario is not going to do it.
Well, Mario just banks money, man. Like, it's just... Yeah. I still don't get it. They just make money. It's crazy.
Yeah. Hand over tiny little Italian fist.
Well, big thank you to everyone for joining us once again. We appreciate you all taking the time out of your week to listen to our fucking nonsense. As I mentioned, we've been doing this a damn long time, and we really appreciate those that do come, whether in, out, week in, week out, infrequently. We just bump into you at PAX. Shout out for that too. No, we really appreciate everyone that takes the time. But yeah, Max, send them home.
Well, everybody, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. Again, if you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, have topics you want to talk about, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
No, generally serious. If you guys ever want to like let us know, like want to go, hey, can you guys talk about this? Or I have some questions, whatever, just like hit us up. Like, we do have like popculture.com/questions, I think, where you can submit questions. I never check it because no one ever uses it. But yeah, just shoot us a DM. Like literally. And I talked about this before, because like MGB and I, we chat like pretty much every day. Like our DMs are open. Hit us up. Like, we are just people and we'll love to fucking chat to you. You know?
I'm not very good at Twitter, and I often forget that a message system exists on Twitter.
Yeah.
So like, if I take a couple of days to reply, I'm not ghosting you. I'm just shit at social media.
Yeah, and I'm pretty good at Twitter, so sorry about that. But yeah, Discord, I'm trash at.
Yeah, I'm more likely to respond on a Discord than Twitter.
Yeah. But yes, if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop. Where you can buy shirts and other supported shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players.
Now, the reason why I'm bad at Twitter is because I don't use the app.
What?
So I don't get notifications.
Why didn't you use the app?
Because I'm a fucking dinosaur, okay?
Clearly.
But I have the Discord app, so I get pings.
Oh my God. It's like trying to communicate with a senior citizen.
For the players.